Heavenly Father,
I pray that you help your servant every time as he explains your word. And first of all, illuminate him and enlighten him and open his eyes that he can see and his ear that he can hear. And on top of that, give him a pure heart that he can hide his word within your heart, so that as he explains your word, using spiritual things, using spiritual word to explain spiritual matter, so that your children, that who belongs to you and belongs to the truth, can understand what you have to say to each and every one of us. And I pray that you be with us tonight as we study the book of Titus. And I pray that you be with us. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Isn't it we finished in verse 9? Titus 1:9. Isn't it? Could you find? I don't think we have finished 9. We haven't started 9,
eight.
Right?
Yeah.
8 to 8. Mm-hmm. Okay, the elder, verse 8, must be hospitable, willing to open up his house and welcome stranger, welcome alien, especially pastor who pass by your place and go to your church to preach, must be hospitable, using elders to open up, and one who love what is good and who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. And all these good attributes is stopping the attack from Satan and doesn't give foothold to our enemy. Verse 9. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message, because if he hold firmly the trustworthy message, then he himself become the messenger. Then he will be used by God to preach the gospel to those who need it at that time. And probably God can use that message from your mouth to say someone so that you may not know. You understand what I'm trying to say? So in other words, when you hear the word of God, you yourself must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught. If something is not trustworthy, don't even hide within your heart. Dump it. Don't waste the empty space. Don't waste the hard drive. Let your hard drive save for some good message. You understand? So in the same way, cleanse your heart from time to time. Reformat it, okay, from time to time, so that you have a pure heart and so that trustworthy message can be firmly dwelt within your heart, okay? He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught. As it has been taught. And so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose him. At one hand, he can encourage others. On the other hand, he can refuse others. Okay? Refuse who? Refuse those who oppose him. Encourage others by sound doctrine. Without having the trustworthy message firmly hold within your heart, you do not know how to encourage others. I want you to write beside trustworthy message as it has been taught. Hold firmly right beside that. You write down Colossians 3:16. Let the word of God richly dwell within your heart. That is what it means by he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message. What happens if I hold trustworthy message? Then you can use all wisdom to teach and to admonish. To teach is to encourage. To admonish is to refute, right? Could you read that to me, Colossians 3:16? Sally?
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God.
So, as you teach, that means as you encourage, okay? As you admonish, as you refuse those who oppose you. That's what it really means. But how can a person do that? Unless he let the word of Christ dwell in your heart richly. Then you'll be able to teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Otherwise, you're going to teach with your own custom, with your own knowledge. That's not the knowledge of God. Okay? Okay. Going back. When you hold firmly to the trustworthy message that he has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose him. Only the person who hides the word within his heart can do that. So this is one of the requirements of being an elder. He has to have the word of God dwell within his heart richly. Verse 10. For there are many rebellious people, mere talker and deceiver, especially those of the circumcision group. You know what did Paul say to Titus? Circumcision group, who are the circumcision group? The Jewish people. They hold firmly to the circumcision done by the hand of man. They don't hold firmly of the circumcision done by the Holy Spirit in your ear and in your heart. They hold firmly to the doctrine handed down by man. They don't hold firmly to the doctrine handed down by the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ, and by God. And Paul saying them, they are mere talker. Why? A mere talker, that means he cannot put what he learned or what he taught into practice. He just talk. And he's a deceiver. Okay? They deny Christ. These kind of people are not true believer. Go to Philippians chapter 3 verse 3. Let's hear what Paul say about the true worshipper. What a true worshipper is like. What the true circumcision group is like. 3:3. For it is we who are the circumcision. We who worship by the Spirit of God. We worship God by the Spirit of God. We worship God by the truth of God. Who glory in Christ Jesus, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. In verse 2, that's why Paul says, watch out for those dog, those men who do evil, and those mutilators of the flesh. They only know how to circumcise people by the hand of man. They don't know the spiritual circumcision. The spiritual circumcision, what's the spiritual circumcision? You're willing to hear the word of God, you're willing to hide within your heart, and you're willing to do it. That's a true circumcision. If I just hear, if I just go on Sunday to listen to the word of God, and I don't want to put it into practice, I don't even want to learn it, and I'm not a true Christian. Okay? And Paul saying that, for there are many rebellious people. Rebellious people, that mean, who are they? The rebellious people has the evil spirit within their heart. Rebellious people is the one who oppose God's word, oppose God's truth. Right beside rebellious people, you write down Ephesians 2:2. Ephesians 2:2. What did the Bible say? The evil spirit is in control of his heart. Verse 2. In which in transgression and sins you used to live. Before I believe in Jesus Christ, I used to live in sins. I used to live in transgression. When? When you follow the way of this world. When? When you follow the way of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Who are they? Who are the ruler of the kingdom of the air? is the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Disobedient are rebellious. In other words, the spirit is not the Holy Spirit. The spirit is the evil spirit. Evil spirit is now at work in those who are disobedient. And the Holy Spirit is now at work in those who are obedient. You understand? There are two kinds of spirit working among men. The Holy Spirit working among those who are obedient to the Word of God. And the evil spirit is working, is now at work in those who are disobedient, who are rebellious. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, let me tell you something. You remember when Samuel saying to Saul, King Saul, that you sins against God. What did King Saul say? He gave all kind of excuse because I fear man and stuff like that. Oh, I've done it already. He gave all kind of excuse. He didn't say, yeah, I'm the sinner. I got to turn around. Take a look at Nathan. The prophet Nathan pointed to David and you are the sinner. And did David say, oh, he gave all kind of excuse because that woman did not cover herself. And that's why I look down from my balcony. I see everything. It's her fault. David didn't say that, right? David just confessed, yeah, I'm the sinner. I turn around. You know what? Let me tell you one thing. When someone pointed out to you that you did something wrong, and how do I know that you have the Holy Spirit working within your heart? When someone pointed out to you, you confessed that you are a sinner and asked God to forgive you, and I know the Holy Spirit is at work in you. How do I know? John 16:8. How did the Holy Spirit work among us? He come is to convict our sins so that we're going to confess it. Yeah, I'm a sinner. You understand what I'm trying to say? Otherwise you say, wow, this pastor is no good. He says something in front of everyone. Make me lose my face. I cannot stand him. He has evil spirit working within his heart. Could you read that 16:8 to me? What's the work of the Holy Spirit, Etter?
When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment.
Who is he?
Jesus Christ.
You read 16:7?
16:7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you.
The counselor is the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is working among you, that means you are the obedient child. If someone point out your sins and you rebel, that means the evil spirit is working, is at work among you. That means you are the rebellious one. You are the disobedient one. If you have the Word of God, then you know what is inside man's heart. You don't have the Word of God, you don't know. You have the Word of God, you know how to pray for them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay? Go back. For there are many rebellious people. Many. In other words, Paul saying to Titus, when you are serving within the church, don't ever think all of them are obedient people. There are many rebellious, disobedient people. Mere talker and deceiver. You know what I mean by mere talker? They just talk. They don't put it into practice. And these are the people who deceive themselves. Deceiver, right beside deceiver, I want you to write down. James. You know what James say? Who are the deceiver? 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it say. If you just mere either talker or mere listener, you are deceiver and you deceive yourself. But if you just not a listener to the word of God and you are also the doer of the word of God, you are true, genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. You learn it. One of these days you'll be perfect. Did you learn piano? Do you?
A little bit.
But at first, when you play, it didn't sound good, right? Mm-hmm. The timing is not good. Yeah, a lot of things is bad. But if you persist, you don't give up. You keep on learning it. One of these days, you'll be very good. When I see a pianist that didn't even have to read the note, and he just play, and then he follow the melody, and he enjoy, and he really is really good. If you don't know much about the Word of God, and someone asks you to teach, you feel very excited. You know what? You know how excited I was when I first prepare. Oh, I write down everything. You know, I'm afraid I forget. I'm afraid I'm going to make a fool of myself. I repeat it again and again. I draw upon the note, and I don't enjoy it. Now I enjoy it. You know what I enjoy? I hide within my heart. I meditate on it. And I ask the Lord, what should I say? Before, I just say, I prepare everything. I want to make sure I say everything. I don't even care what the Holy Spirit says. Don't mess up my stuff, because when you mess it up, I don't know how to continue. You understand what I'm, right? Yeah, I prepared that already. Just leave me alone. And it's not effective. But when I prepared, I say, Lord, I heard what you have said, and I wait for you. How are you going to use me and deliver the message? And then you enjoy it. And all this kind of stuff takes time. And all we have to learn, this is a good way. Okay? Same as, you know, when the master pianist, wow, he's good, she's good, right? And so you play like that, you enjoy it, right? So well that you enjoy. We got to enjoy what we are doing. But you have to go through all the pain first before you can enjoy. There's no shortcut. If you're not good at it, you want to enjoy yourself? Oh, man. No way. Can't do that. Okay? But I think that you people are very fortunate. When I'm your age, I wasn't even a believer. I never read the Bible. I don't know what God say. And now, Daniel, you are 12 years old, right? 10? 8? 13? 12 years old? And you memorize so many Bible verses already, right?
Did you forget everything now?
Well, but later on, when he study again, the Holy Spirit will recall all this kind of stuff. And you still get some. Okay? Now go back. Who are the deceiver? James 1:22. Who are the deceiver? And Titus chapter 1, verse 10, 2:22, James. Who are the deceiver? Two kind of people are deceiver. If you are a mere talker, you are a deceiver. If you are a mere listener, you're a deceiver. You just deceive yourself. You understand what I'm trying to say? So, what should I do? Don't just talk. Just do it. Okay? Put it in the practice. That guy this afternoon, when I hear that guy is a deceiver. He's a mere talker. At one hand, he say, well, Pastor, get rid of that evil spirit of me. And then when he talk about it, he's smiling. That guy. He tried to deceive me and he wasted my time. That guy. Okay? You understand what I'm trying to say? He's a mere talker. He's a messenger of the evil spirit. Okay? And he deceived others. A mere talker just talk and don't do it himself. That means he didn't watch out for himself. Right beside talker, you write 1 Timothy 4:16. 1 Timothy 4:16. Watch your life and then watch your doctrine closely. First of all, watch your life first. That means whatever you teach other people, you teach your own life. teach yourself. Teach your own family. And then watch your doctrine. Make sure what you say is in conformity with what Jesus say and what the other or what the other apostles say. Watch your doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Right beside persevere in them, you write down James 1:25. You don't give up. You keep doing it until you're good at it. But the man who looks intensely into the perfect law that gives freedom and continue to do it, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, and he will be blessed in what he does. Always don't just teach others. You have got to learn to do it yourself. Do it. Sometimes we mess it up. You know what? You never crack any cup or any bowl, that means you never wash dishes. The more you wash, the more you crack it. But you got to learn it, be careful, learn it to do it and do it well, okay? And that's what the Bible says. Persevere in them. Continue to practice it. Continue to watch your life. Continue to watch your doctrine. When you find out something wrong, persevere in them. Change it. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearer. And you are not a deceiver. You understand? Okay. So I take a look at what Paul saying to Timothy, and same as what he said to Titus, and same as what James saying to his audience. They are all saying the same thing. We are not a loser. We don't give up easily. Okay? We keep on doing it. We persevere in doing it. And we don't want to be a deceiver. We want to be a true messenger of Jesus Christ and tell people the truth in love. Not just be a mere talker. We are practitioner. We practice what we preach. Especially those of the circumcision group. The circumcision group, you know why the circumcision group are deceiver? You know why the circumcision group are mere talker? You write down Galatians, then you know what. Because they just want other people to be circumcised. But they themselves do not obey God's word. So that's why they are deceiver and mere talker. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 12. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this, the only reason why they compel you to be circumcised is to avoid being persecuted for the cause of Christ. 13. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law. They don't put what they teach into practice. Yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your flesh. They're just a mere talker. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus, and through which, through the cross, the world has been circumcised to me, and I has been circumcised to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. What do you mean a new creation? Not just hearer, but also a doer. Not just a talker, but he watch over for his own life and watch over his sound doctrine. You understand? So I want you to write down, right beside circumcision group, you write down Galatians chapter 6, verse 12 to 15. Who are they, the circumcision group? They just tell people to be circumcised. They don't care less whether they tell people, oh, you got to obey God's word. They don't care. All they care is whether you are circumcised in the flesh. Only superficial. You know what circumcision means? Circumcision means obedient to the word of God. You know, if I just care about whether you are circumcised in your flesh and I don't care whether you obey God's word, that is meaningless. That's a deceiver. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, I give you one more thing. It's a good spiritual food for your thought. Oh, people say, especially the Jewish people say, oh, I kept the Sabbath. I only go to the synagogue on Saturday. And then, on Saturday, I didn't do any God's word. On Saturday, I didn't even preach the gospel. On Saturday, I worry about a lot of family matter and my own health. I don't think about God's word. You haven't worshipped God on the Sabbath. Worship God on the Sabbath means you do God's word, you start doing your work. You talk about God's word, you stop talking about your own word. You think about God's word, you stop thinking about any other word. That's the reason why God gave us one day, the day of Sabbath, so that you can be with God. God wants you to say, hey, you're very tired. I want you to come to me. I want you to lay all your burden, anxiety, and the difficult stuff, leave it to me, and let me handle it for you. God loves to help us. But he wait for us to come to him. You know what I mean by enter into Sabbath? Enter into Jesus Christ. When I have Jesus Christ entering within my heart, I will stop talking my own word. I will talk about God's word. I will stop doing my own things. I will doing God's word. I stop thinking my own matter. I think about the word of God, the kingdom of God. Where does it say? Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it, if you honor the Sabbath day by not going your own way, going God's way, and not doing as you please, just doing how to please God, not speaking idle word, but speaking the truth in love, you are truly entering into the Sabbath. You are rest from your own way, rest from your own doing, rest from your own word. Is that doing everything God's thing? God wants us to have at least one day later with God. You understand? Then our life will be changed by him. Okay? 58:13. I find that was very, 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 very good. You know, we are so tired. You know why we are tired? Tired of doing this, tired of speaking this, tired of thinking about all this kind of stuff. Because all my effort. That's why we feel tired. But if we're doing God's stuff, we won't be tired. Okay? Okay. Verse 11. They must be silent because they are ruining whole household by teaching things they ought not to teach. Some people, they love to be a teacher. They teach things they ought not to teach. They are not teaching God true. Okay? These kind of people, they must be silent. Because they are ruining whole household by teaching things they ought not to teach. But when you teaching things that you ought to teach, like the truth, like the gospel, then the whole household will be built up by you and not destroyed by you. You understand? You can either build up people or you can destroy people. Depends what did you teach. And that for the sake of this honest gain. You know why they're teaching something? They want to teach something for their own gain. Okay? For the sake of this honest gain. And I just come before we come back after the this morning worship, we go to visit one of the family from mainland. From the beginning, he said the evil spirit speaking to him, tell him what to do. He just want this honest gain. At the end, he still talk about the same thing. All he care is this honest gain. He asked the evil spirit to go to the Wall Street. You know, it's amazing. I mean, people will think like that, that the mind is just beyond me. And when Titus serving the church, they have the same kind of people because they're serving the Gentile church. They have their own thinking. And that's why Paul saying to Titus, make sure Titus as a pastor, make sure Titus tell them not to do it anymore. They must be silent because they are ruining whole household, God's whole household, by teaching things they ought not to teach. And that for the sake of this honest gain. So sometimes, you know, when you listen to people teaching you, you have to ask yourself, what's the reason why he say that? Is this for his own gain? Or is that is what God want him to say? You have to have that discerning spirit within your heart. You understand what I'm trying to say? Verse 12. Even one of their own prophet has said, Christians are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. Lazy gluttons. Okay? Even one of their own prophets has said. Paul said, that's not what I say. That is what they say. And this is true. This testimony is true. Although their prophet, their own prophet may not be the prophet of God, but in this aspect, in this testimony of your own prophet has said the truth. And it's true, okay? This testimony is true. Therefore, we build them sharply so that they will be sound in the faith. I want to stop here. Isn't it God asks us to be gentle? And how come in here, verse 13, therefore, we build them sharply. Sally, do you know why?
So then they'll turn around.
They will turn around. The answer is in verse 13. So that they will be sound in the faith. They believe in liar. If you do not rebuild sharply, they will keep on believing liar. And what happened? If they keep on believing liar, there's a way that seemed right in the beginning, but in the end, it leads to death. They will go to hell. You want to save them. You don't want them to go to hell. Right? Especially if they're the member of your own church. You want to save them. Okay? We build them sharply. So who are they? Who are they? Sally, in verse 12, who are they?
The people who preach the false gospel and after dishonest gain.
And who else? They must be silent because they are ruining whole household by teaching things they ought not to teach, and for the sake of dishonest gain. And who else? What did they do? They are liar. Verse 10. They are deceiver. Verse 10. They are talker. Verse 10. They are rebellious people. These kind of people. Are they leader? They are circumcision group? Are they leader? Are they leader in the church, Etta?
Yeah.
They are leader in the church. They are teaching people. Teaching things that they ought not to teach. They teach things for the sake of dishonest gain. And they are liar. They are evil brutes. They are lazy glutton. And this testimony is true. Devil rebuke them sharply, so that they will be sound in the faith. What happens if these people turn around? And they will be good teacher then. Right? They will be helping you. So that's why, in a church like that, Paul saying to Timothy, make sure, upon elders, in verse 5, upon elders in every tongue. Why? Because an elder can help you. Verse 9, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as he has been taught, so that he can encourage others, and encourage others by sound doctrine, and refute those who oppose it. When you as a pastor, Pastor Titus, we build the congregation, and the elders say, oh, yeah, what Pastor Titus says is correct. He loves you. You know, you better change. Otherwise, you go to hell. He can encourage others to change, okay? Encourage others by sound doctrine. He can refuse those who oppose it. Then he can agree with the Pastor Titus. If people go away from the church because they are discouraged, because the Pastor Titus rebuke him, then you say, well, don't go away. You go away, then you're a prodigal son. Satan will get hold of you. And you will die. You understand what I'm trying to say? Then if you don't know, if you don't hold firmly the trustworthy message, you can say, well, yeah, this pastor's no good, let's go together. Then the church destroy. You understand what I'm trying to say? So I tell you how to do it, okay? Let's say when you become a mother or when you become a father, make sure you agree with your wife as you discipline your child. Don't just say, let's say if the father disciplines a child and the mother crying, ah, don't do that. Your children, your child will never learn. They have to agree. One teach, the other say to the daughter, listen to your daddy. Your daddy is good. Your daddy loves you. You understand? How am I going to say, hey, let's walk away. Divorce him. You understand what I'm trying to say? I heard that someone say, and two people are Christian, and they say each other, let's divorce him. And that's no good. Because they don't know God hates divorce. You understand? We got to be in agreement. If husband and wife do not agree with one another, the family will be destroyed. Your children will be destroyed. If the pastor Titus together with the elder are not agree with one another, the church will be destroyed. The elder must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught. When the pastor Titus teach the elder, teach the entire congregation. Someone may forget it, but the elder cannot forget God's message. Hold firmly to the trustworthy message. And then when the time comes, when you see people walk away from the church, you go and visit them and say, hey, don't do that. You do it, you become a prodigal son. Pastor Titus is right. He's a faithful servant. He's teaching God's word. If you're rejecting him, hey, take a look. Take a look. Matthew, let me see. John 13:20. If you reject the servant of Jesus Christ, you reject Jesus. Those who reject Jesus reject God who sent him. Matthew 12:30, isn't it? Could you read it? Matthew 12:30.
He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters.
He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatter. When you see someone walk away because they don't believe in what Titus has said, Pastor Titus has said, and you don't gather with by Titus, you scatter with Satan. You understand what I'm trying to say? As a member of the church, you got to know how to protect the church. Let the pastor preach what he has to say, and you as a leader, as an elder, encourage people to repent. Don't say, oh no, this Pastor Titus is no good. He has no love. He scolds you. He rebuked you sharply. He didn't give you face. He didn't honor you in front of everyone. Let's walk away. Then the church will be destroyed. Same as when a wife or when a husband say, oh, mommy is scolding at me, you know. She didn't have love. Let's walk away. Then the family destroyed. Instead, the fathers could have said, mommy is right. Mommy loves you. He wants you to turn around. He wants you to get the blessing. Then the whole situation will be changed. Now you know how to be a good wife, right? Work with your husband. Now you know how to be a good husband, right? Work with your wife in the future, alright? You know how to do it, right? Go to John. What did I say? 13? 40? 13 what? 13:20, isn't it? Mm-hmm. 13:20, please read that.
I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me.
You know, if your father scolds you, rebuild you sharply, and you have to go back and study God's word. Why he doing what he's doing? Did he say God's word? If he say it, you reject it. You're not rejecting your father. You're rejecting God's word. That is a serious matter. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you know that? You know what? That may be the last chance for you to repent. That may be the last time for you to repent. Do you remember that a few weeks ago? I was told to go to by Key, say, well, you better go to go with William to see his father-in-law. Lo and behold, I went to his hospital in Yofei. 3 days later, he passed away. I share with him Psalm 71. I share with him Psalm 51. I say, I learned from Psalm 51 how David sins against God and turn around and ask God to spare him. Don't take away the Holy Spirit so that he can teach sinner to turn around. And God spare him when he was young. And in Psalm 71, when you're old, just about to die, you ask God to spare you. Say, God, use me. I can teach a lot of young people to turn around. And I teach that young old man. It's the first time I met him. I don't know whether he turned around. But when I read the scripture, Job 33:23, and that's exactly what God wanted me to say. Try to save his life. You know what? In the future, he can't say, oh, you're a pastor. And you're somehow you're related to me because I'm the father-in-law of William. William's your brother. And you don't share the gospel. He can't say that. I share the gospel to him. And God sent me as a messenger of Christ and to share the gospel to him. And God wanted to save his life. I don't know whether he's saved or not. Only God knows. You understand what I'm trying to say? Etta, I want you to read that. Job is there right before the Psalm. It's Job 33:23. Job 33:23.
Yet if there is an angel on his side as a mediator...
The angel you can translate as a messenger, okay? Messenger is also an angel.
As a mediator, one out of 1,000, to tell a man what is right for him. To be gracious to him and say, spare him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom for him. Then his flesh is renewed like a child's. It is restored as in the day of his youth.
In other words, when that sinner heard about the gospel, heard about the word of God, he turned around. His life was restored. His flesh is renewed like a child. And is restored as in the day of his youth. Verse 26.
He prays to God and finds favor with him.
He confesses sins, right? When he confesses sin, what happened? Verse 33, 26.
He sees God's face and shouts for joy. He is restored by God to his righteous state.
If that messenger don't go to see him, he'll go to hell already. Verse 27.
Then he comes to men and says, I sinned and perverted what is right, but I did not get what I deserved.
He was saved because of that messenger going to him. You understand? You don't know. You don't know how God used you. That may be the last opportunity for you to save that person's life. But let me tell you, God wants to save him. God wants to save sinner. Take a look at what Paul said as regarding to the reason why God sent his son to come down and die for us. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners is to save a person like this. You understand? To save sinners. Of whom I am the worst. Jesus Christ come down to this world is to save sinner. I want you to write it down. Sinner is Job 33:23 all the way to 30. To save that sinner, what happened when that sinner was saved? He witnessed, he testified in front of the Christian. Then he comes to man, come to the congregation, come to the people of God and say, I sinned and perverted what is right, but I did not get what I deserve. I'm supposed to go to hell. And he tell people, he prayed to God and found favor with God. He see God's face and shout for joy. He is restored by God to his righteous state. He could have go to hell. And then God restore his flesh. His flesh is renewed like a child. It is restored as in the day of your youth. And God say, you know what God say? Spare him from going down to the pit. Spare him from going down to hell. God come down to save sinner. I want you to write that. Right beside, spare him from going down to the pit. You write that. 1 Timothy 1:15. God did not want sinner to go to hell. I have found a ransom for him through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then what happened? Verse 28, he redeemed my soul from going down to the pit, and I will live to enjoy the light. And God does all these things to man, twice and even three times. Last Sunday, last Saturday, we go to the McDonald in St. Albert. We met a fellow called Paul. And I shared the gospel to him, not once, not twice, and even three times. I don't know what happened to his case. You know, he said he has some test to be done in the hospital. But he's stiff neck. And God still use us to spare his life. But it depends on him, right? I don't know what's the outcome. I just do my part, right? If I refuse to go, if I say, oh, Saturday, I'm busy, you know, I prepare Sunday sermon, I have all kind of excuse. Right? But in here, I see that God does all these things to man, twice, even three times, to turn back his soul from the pit. You know how many times mentioned the pit? Three times. 24, spare him from going down to the pit. 28, redeem my soul from going down to the pit. Verse 30, to turn back his soul from the pit. He is heading to destruction, that the light of life may shine on him. Isn't it God is good? God is really, really good. You know, sometimes he used your wife, sometimes he used the husband, sometimes he used your friends. Through this, all this mediator, through all these people helping you to hear the gospel and turn around, and you turn around, bam, you get saved. Twice, even three times. But after that, maybe, well, you keep, you know, if it's three times, you don't want to listen. You know, even four, five, six, seven times, it's no use. You understand what I'm trying to say? First time I hear about that, I reject it. And then my brother died. Second time I hear about that, I accept it. I don't want to be stupid. You understand? Hey, I don't read the gospel at that time, you know, because I know I cannot oppose God. Could you read that to me? 2 Corinthians 13:8. What did the Bible say? In all things we can only what? Help the truth. We cannot oppose the truth. Come on. God say, oh, twice I'm going to talk to you. Third time is that time out. I will be in deep trouble. You know what I mean? For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. 13:8. He tried to save us from going down to the pit. You know? The pit. That pit is a bottomless pit, you know. Keep sinking down. Hey, that's not a good place, okay? Don't ever try to go there, okay? That is a horrible place. So, that's good. Titus chapter 1. Verse 13. This testimony is true, therefore we build them sharply. When Paul rebuilt, when Titus the pastor rebuilt his congregation sharply, so that they will be sound in the faith, and then the elder should comfort that parallel, say, yeah, we better change it. We better turn around. And the church will grow. 14. And will pay no attention to Jewish submit all to the commands of those who reject the truth. Don't ever think that only God's servant teach you the command of God. Satan's servant will teach you the commands of those who reject the truth. You know, even use God's servant's name, Moses, and all that. Come on, you know this. He's a pervert. He's a pervert.
He used the Heavenly Father's name.
Yeah.
As well.
Just and saying that, you know, he sees God or whatever. You know. You hear what all these servant of Satan, and then you read Titus, the book Paul written to Titus. Titus is the pastor of a Gentile church, and you know what a Gentile church is like. You know, some they pay attention to the Jewish myth because they don't know much about that. They thought it's a mystery. It's good stuff, but Paul say, pay no attention to Jewish myth. You have to rebuild them sharply so that they will pay no attention to Jewish myth, or they will pay no attention to the commands of those who reject the truth. We should pay attention to the command of those who love the truth. But we should pay no attention to the commands of those who reject the truth. If you love the truth, what you say is the truth, we should pay attention to it. If you reject the truth, what you say is against the truth, what you say is opposed to the truth, we oppose it. Got that? 15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. So, from that guy's mouth, he was corrupted and he did not believe in God because he believed in every other false god. Nothing from his mouth is pure. You understand what I'm trying to say? Oh man. To the pure, all things are pure. What does it mean by to the pure, all things are pure? I want you to write beside that. You write down Matthew chapter 12. Take a look at what Matthew is saying. Take a look at what Matthew is saying. Saying the same thing. 12:33 all the way to 37. Read that to me. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. Right beside that, you write down Matthew 12:33. To what? 37? Read that.
Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned.
So what he's saying is exactly what Titus saying. Titus 1:15. To the pure all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted, but to those who do not believe, nothing is pure. Because if he's corrupted, he won't say something good. He will not. You just waste your time. Do not listen to what he has to say. He wants to corrupt your mind. He wants to ruin the whole household. They should stop teaching. Verse 11. They must be silent because they are ruining whole household by teaching things they ought not to teach. And that for the sake of dishonest gain. Even one of their own prophet has said, Christians are always liar, evil bruise, lazy glutton. This testimony is true. Therefore, we build them sharply so that they will be sound in the faith and will pay no attention to Jewish myth or to the commands of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are corrupted and do not believe. Nothing is pure. 15, the latter part of 15. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. Both their mind and consciences are corrupted. Their mind and consciences has not yet been cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to write it down right beside 15. You write down Hebrew chapter 9. Hebrew chapter 9 verse 14. I want you to write it down right beside it. Hebrew 9, 14. What did the Bible say? How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from act that leads to death, and so that we may serve the living God. These kind of people, their mind and their consciences has not yet been cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can they serve God? They just ruin the whole household. Because they're teaching something they ought not to teach for their own selfish gain. They teach something that are opposed to truth and not sound doctrine. Does it make sense? So first of all, in order for us to serve God, both our mind and our conscience has to be cleansed from corruption by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then we'll be able to serve God. Right? Any questions, Sally? You read that Hebrew to me? 9:14.
How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God?
Before we believe in Jesus Christ, before we were cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, what happened to us? We do things leads to death. We're going down, heading to the destruction, heading to the pit. Someone turn around and tell us the truth. At first, I reject it. And then when I suffer, I turn around. We need the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse our mind and our conscience. All this dirty stuff, evil stuff, hey, get out. You entertain yourself with this evil thought, you give the foothold to the devil, he's going to stay there. Don't give a foothold. 不要给他留地步. You give a little bit of foothold, he's going to stay there. And then you bring all the evil thought, get enter into your mind. Then you'll be in deep trouble. In fact, both their mind and consciences are corrupted. Why? They haven't believed in the word of God. They claim to know God. If they truly know God, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ has already purchased them, cleansed them, right? Both their mind and their conscience. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. I don't just believe in what people say, because I read the scripture. A week before last Saturday, we talked to that fellow. That fellow said he wanted to believe in Jesus. And then I led him to Christ. And I said, next day, Sunday, I'm going to baptize you. Next day. He said, oh, hold on a second. Let me learn more about the word of Christ. That means he hasn't believed. You understand? You know what? As a Christian, if I do not want to carry my own cross, how can I follow Jesus Christ? If I don't follow Jesus Christ, how can I be saved in his hand? Satan is going to snatch me out of the hand of Satan, out of the hand of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I'm not following Jesus. If I follow Jesus, I'm saved in Jesus' hand. I'm saved in God's hand. If I'm not following him, I'm the candidate to be snatched away. remember them. Go back to 10:28-29, the Gospel of John. Sally?
I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand.
We are safe in the hands of Jesus Christ and in the hands of our Heavenly Father, as long as, verse 27, we are His sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know my sheep, and my sheep follow me. You follow Him, you are safe in Jesus' hand. You are safe in God's hand. What happened in verse 26? But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. If you are not Jesus' sheep, Jesus do not know you, and you do not listen to Jesus' voice, nor do you follow Him. Are you safe in Jesus and God's hand? Are you? Etta? If I am not His sheep, am I safe in Jesus' hand?
No.
No. So that promise, verse 28-29, apply with a condition with 26 and 27. Depends whether I want to be His sheep. If you want to be His sheep, you listen to His voice. You want to be His sheep, you better know Him and know Him well. Just like what Peter saying in 2 Peter 3:18. Make sure each and every one of us grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Get to know Him more and follow Him. Right? Don't just hold on to the Bible promise, oh, 10:28, I'm safe in His hand. Doesn't matter what I do. No. Listen to His voice. When we are in difficulty, you know what happened? He will send His servant twice, three times, and talk to you, save you from the pit. That may be the last chance, you know? You say, oh no, I'm saved in God's hand, just like that fellow. Oh, I heard the gospel, and I don't believe in the God that you believe.
We give Him two times, no? Two chances, no? Maybe we have to go back once more.
No, I... Saling Wei, summer retreat, he been there.
Okay. I saw that.
Oh, they're there, guy? Oh, okay. But I tell you, really.
He's far away.
Let's finish it. Verse 16. They claim to know God, but by their action, they deny Him. By their action, they deny Him. There just applies to who? Applies to Gospel of John. John what? 10? 27. Okay? 10:27.
What do you believe?
No, I'm sorry, it's not 27. 26, right? They deny Him. They're not His sheep. They say they're His sheep. They say they know God. Oh, man. So we better watch out. From time to time, yeah, I test to see whether I test people to see whether they truly being what they claim to be. They claim to know God. But if you know God, you should follow God. So you write down 26 all the way to 29. They claim to know God, they claim to be Christian, but by their action, they deny Him. By their action, they deny Him. Do they know God then? They don't. Do they follow God? No, they don't. Do they listen to Jesus' word? No, they don't. Are they Jesus' sheep? No, they are not. Right? According to verse 26. But if you are truly turned around, that eight, you know what? Paul saying to Titus, you rebuild them sharply. If you rebuild them sharply, they lose their face in front of everyone. They turn around. Oh, they will be saved. It's to save their soul. Save their soul. They are detestable. They are disobedient and unfit for doing anything good. Of course, I know they are unfit for doing anything good according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16. Because their conscience, their mind has not yet been cleansed. They are still corrupted. And their action that leads to death hasn't been cleansed. Right? And how can they serve God? So they are unfit for doing anything good. They are not fit for God's service. And I want you to write beside that, right beside 9:6, Hebrews 9:14, I want you to write down. 2 Peter, chapter 3, all the way to 11. 2 Peter, chapter 1, 3 to 11. Read that and then we conclude.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
2 Peter.
Oh, 2 Peter.
Not 1 Peter.
His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own.
You know what?
Glory.
His divine power has given us everything we need for life. For life is eternal life. For godliness, so that we can serve Him. We need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, if we truly know Him. Just like if you claim to know Him, then your action proves that you truly know Him. Read that.
Through our own knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires.
Escape the corruption in your mind and in your conscience. Corruption in the world caused by the evil desire. We escape that. Now we can serve God. We can live a godly life. That's what Peter said. Verse 5. And how do we do it? Hey, verse 3 and 4, that's what God has done. And when God has done His job, now verse 5 to verse 11 is our job. Hey, don't tell me that God did His job. You don't have to do your own job. Work out your own salvation. God done His job. You have to do your job too, right? Teacher done His job to teach you something. You got to do exercise, assignment, right? Then you can learn from it. Verse 5.
For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
In other words, if you claim that you truly know God, it reflected in your action. It reflected in your speech. It reflected in your life that I see Jesus live in your life. I see Jesus. And that guy, I don't see Jesus. You know what I see? I see evil spirit. I don't see the evil spirit per se like appear to me. I see the evil speaking through him. You understand what I'm trying to say? Man, that guy. He claimed that he go to various churches, but it's no way. It's no use. Okay? Verse 8, for if we possess this quality, this eight quality, what eight quality? Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, pursuing them in don't give up. People rebuild you, don't just walk away. Godliness, you live a godly life so that you turn around to live a godly life. Kindness and love. If you possess this eight quality in increasing manner, that means grow in all these aspects, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus. If you truly know God, your action will reflect that you will bear fruit. Verse 9.
But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins.
I want to write it down. Right beside here, Hebrews 9:14. We have been cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has been cleansed from his past sin. When you are cleansed, then you can serve God, right? Right? What did Hebrews say again? One more time? Read that. 9:14. Oh, come on. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that leads to death, so that we may serve the living God. When we serve the living God with Jesus Christ living within our heart, for sure we will bear fruit. We won't be ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus. If anyone who does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sin, then he should be able to serve God. Verse 10. Therefore, my brother, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. Do your own work. Work out your own salvation. For if you do this thing, you will never fall, and you will receive rich welcome into his eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't go to see Jesus with empty-handed. We want to make sure you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You understand? How can I be welcome with rich blessing? I got to bear fruit. I got to be effective productive. But I have to work out my own salvation first. You understand? So, what should you say? Right beside 3 to 4, what do you say? You write down God's work. Right beside 5 to 11, you write down man's work. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us. Don't just claim to be a Christian, claim to know God, but by our action we deny Jesus Christ, because that is detestable to God, and that is disobedient, unfit for doing anything good. Lord, we want to serve you. Thank you for cleansing our mind and our conscience and our heart. We want to serve you wholeheartedly, for we love you. The reason why we love you, because you love us first. Thank you for giving us opportunity to serve you. And I pray that you continue to use us to advance your kingdom, to bring people into the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to bear fruit for you. And I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.